Welcome to the Ambitious Freelancer Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Cross of The Happy Art Canton, and I'm here to help you show up as your best self while you're finding clients, working with the clients, and getting those testimonials to build your better business. We will be talking about everything you need to know when it comes to freelancing, whether you're a beginner or someone who has a few years under their belt. So let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Ambitious Freelancer Podcast. So today we're going to be talking about non-competes. So I have talked about this in the Facebook group before, but I wanted to create it in podcast form just in case you wanted it on the go, obviously. So this is not an exact replication of that video. So yeah, you might like the video better. It's in the Facebook group. It was before I started the podcast, so it's been a little bit because this episode is going up in July. So yeah, so I am currently on vacation, but right now it's May, so I'm definitely not on vacation. But by the time this podcast goes up, I will be on vacation. How about that? So yes, today I wanted to talk about non-competes, as I just said, because I think that it's something that freelancers do have to worry a little bit about. You might find it in a contract that you signed with a particular company and you're like, whoa, what is a non-compete? What does it mean? Should I sign it or should I try to negotiate this non-compete out of the contract, which is what I usually do because I do not like non-competes. Like, I don't really see the point in non-competes often because of the relationship that I've had with the client. It just doesn't make sense for me, so I usually try to negotiate and successfully negotiate it out of contracts. I think that they can be helpful in some regards, but it really depends on the relationship that you're building with that particular client because, you know, when it comes to like long-term work, I can see having a non-compete, but a lot of the times you're not going after long-term work. You're usually going after like a short-term contract, and a non-compete just doesn't make sense. But a non-compete is a legally binding thing. So if you sign a contract with a non-compete in it, like, you could be legally held liable if you break that non-compete, which could cost you a lot of money. Even if that company doesn't go after that, that's something that they could go after, and you just never know. So I do want to talk about what a non-compete is and what it means, and also like the lengths of non-competes and all kinds of stuff like that, because it's so important for you guys to know this as a freelancer, because it's something that's going to cover your butt legally. And I hope that this podcast is helpful for you in some way. If you see a contract and it says non-compete and you're like, whoa, I know what that means now, so I'm not signing that. You have the cards here, so I would say definitely try to negotiate a non-compete out. Like, I don't care. Like if it makes sense, and I'm going to talk about some times where it does make sense, like, okay. But if it doesn't make sense, especially try to negotiate that non-compete out and try to negotiate it out anyway, like, even if it kind of makes a little sense, just because non-competes are a pain. And honestly, contracts are better without the non-competes in them. And yeah, so let's get started with what is a non-compete. So a non-compete is essentially a thing that's there to cover your client and their intellectual property or their like physical property sometimes too. Like whatever it is that they basically sell, or, you know, their trade secrets or things that they keep kind of locked in that as a freelancer, you may or may not be privy to because of the work that you're doing with the company. So I'm a freelance writer, so often I'm not really in on like the big secrets of what the company's got going on the inside. Like, I might be privy to like maybe their content calendar, but that's about it. But even then though, if you are privy to someone's content calendar, that can be like a detriment if you also work with another company, because you can be like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, create a piece of content really fast for this other company to kind of despite the company that you're working for at the time. So it's an actual possibility that like even a content calendar and knowing what's on a client's content calendar can be detrimental to another company. So that is something to think about. You might want to consider as you're building your brand or building your business, like, that is something that you need to worry about. So, for example, a bigger company with, like, non-competes, I'm sure. I don't know for sure what's in their contract, but I'm sure they have a non-compete. It's like a Tesla. Like, self-driving cars are, like, something that's, like, intellectual property. They built the programs and all that good stuff on the back end to really make sure that their self-driving cars are working as best as they can. So, they're probably going to want their workers to be pretty tight-lipped about all of the stuff that goes into the Tesla back end. So people who work at Tesla probably have to sign a non-compete so that they're not giving those secrets out to other self-driving car companies like Wayve or whatever the self-driving cars are these days. Like all of those cars and that technology, they probably want to keep that close to their, like, body or close to them. I don't think Elon Musk really wants to give out all of his information about, like, how he creates self-driving cars. Like, that would be pretty stupid. He'd want to keep that in to Tesla and the people who work at Tesla. And once someone stops working for Tesla, he doesn't want them to go to another probably self-driving car company and just start working there and giving away trade secrets and all that good stuff. So he might make them sign a non-compete, meaning that they can't work for another self-driving car industry or self-driving car company for a certain amount of time. And so this makes sense in that industry, especially in an industry that's so volatile and new. Like, you don't want people just going from company to company with your information after they've worked closely with you on how to make a self-driving car. You don't want them to be able to just go to another company and be like, hey, I have all this information from Tesla because I worked with them for a long time and now I'm going to work with you to help improve your self-driving cars too. Like, that wouldn't make sense. So, but the thing about non-competes is that often companies try to kind of abuse them or make them way too long. And so a typical non-compete is for about a year, 6 months to a year. And I think that's pretty standard. And, you know, it'd probably hold up in court, but some people try to make them like indefinite, or they try to hold them for like 5 years or 10 years. I'm like, whoa, that's a little bit much. Like, that's a whole industry you're locking me out of, especially if that's something I'm interested in. It'd be kind of sucky, like, especially if you like fired me or something, that I couldn't even work for this other company or like move about. So, but I feel like people take non-competes way too seriously, and for like industries that probably don't really need it that much, like maybe like content, like working for different content marketing companies and stuff like that. Like, wait, no. If I'm a content marketer, I'm gonna work for probably another agency. So why would you try to stop me from working with another agency? Like, that's way too much. So I always try to negotiate non-competes out, especially if they're pretty vague. So it's really important that you know exactly who your company's competitors are, and so that's very clear. Because if you have a company who does something like super vague, then it's probably not going to be the best thing for you to be like, oh, I can just non-compete out of this. Like, who are your competitors? Who exactly you're trying to stop me from working with? And that might actually be a really great thing for you to ask. Like, if you're signing a non-compete, be like, hey, who are your competitors? Who are the main competitors I should be worried about? Because if it's someone I'd actually want to work with in the future, that'd be sucky, you know? Like, especially bigger companies, because obviously that's kind of what you want to do. You probably want to swing higher. Like, as you get done with a job, you probably want to go higher and higher in that same niche. So I wouldn't sign a non-compete if it's in your exact niche. So if you're writing for a particular company, it wouldn't make sense to, like, if you're writing for a company in your niche and that's your niche, so like HR tech, like it'd probably be pretty sad for me not to be able to write for other HR tech companies after I got done writing for another one. So the thing about that is, though, I try to be pretty, you know, I try to space out like my HR tech companies as much as possible. So maybe working for an onboarding company while working for an employee engagement or company culture company, trying to spread it out. Obviously, sometimes that doesn't always work. So being very clear about the distinctions in your company. So maybe onboarding for like smaller companies and onboarding for companies who are hiring a lot of employees at once, like just finding ways to kind of make a few distinctions between the companies you're working with, so you're not working with companies that are on top of each other at the same time, but that's just a personal choice that I decided to make. You don't have to make that choice. It's really whatever you would like to do. So I really just want to give you guys some education on non-competes and also just how to like email to ask out of them. So like really just say, hey, like I really like more like detail on this non-compete in this particular stance. It doesn't really make sense for me to be on a non-compete because this is my industry, this is my niche, and I just write for companies like this all the time. So like, can we have like some kind of middle ground compromise here? I really want to be fair to the clients that I already have and the clients I want to have in the future, and I want to be fair to you as well, making sure that this contract is signed in a way that makes sense for both of us. And honestly, sometimes people just give you a contract. If I'm going to be completely honest here, a lot of the times people aren't reading through those contracts as much as they should be before they're sending them off to you. So they might even realize that there's a non-compete in the contract. They might just have this general contract that they use or a general contract they found from a friend. And they're like, I don't really know what to put here, so I'm just like going to give you a contract. And if that's the case, like you're like, whoa, come on, let's just settle this real quick and, you know, figure that out. So I would say if a company has non-compete on contracts, you know, read through it, make sure you understand what the non-compete is for. And if you don't, ask questions, be like, hey, does this truly make sense for our relationship? Especially if this is a short-term project. So maybe if it's a longer-term project and you're going to be working with them for a year or 2 years, it's a retainer project and you're like, you're going to give me like a certain amount of work and then that's going to be the contract. Okay, that makes sense. But if it's just a one-time project or like a month or two of a project, a non-compete definitely doesn't make sense. So just stand up for yourself and don't sign anything that you don't understand fully and completely. So with the non-competes, you really gotta ask, you really gotta be sure that you're clear on what's in there, what it means, and what it will mean for you in the future. So I would say if you want to do a non-compete, that is completely fine, but I want you guys to make sure that you're going into a non-compete relationship knowing exactly what a non-compete is and what it will stop you from doing and what it mean legally for you. Because those non-competes, while the company might not ever think about doing it, like if they could legally go after you for damages because you're working with companies in their particular niche. So whether you're a freelancer writer, a graphic designer, a photographer, any of that, like be careful about the contracts that you're signing and know what a non-compete is. Know if it makes sense in this particular relationship. And if it doesn't make sense, have the character and the gusto to go after it and make sure that you're signing a contract without that in. And then after you've agreed upon removing it, make sure that it actually gets removed from the contract. Thank you so much for listening to the Ambitious Freelancer podcast. I'm so excited that we got to hang out today. If you want to hang out between uploads, check out thehappyartcanton.com/ambitious freelancers. There you will find more support and advice as you grow your freelance business and connect with other listeners of the podcast. I cannot wait to see you in the group, and I will talk to you in a few days with some more great advice.